Thanks, Catherine. Welcome back to the Weekend Edition. It is just 2 minutes past 11 now. Now on the show, we have Donna O'Connor. She's on to talk to us about her son, Ryan O'Connor, who has come closer to achieving his sporting dreams after receiving an athlete's wheelchair. Donna and Ryan are from Dungiven. Donna, thanks for joining us on the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Barry. How are you?
I'm good. And how are you?
Grand.
And tell us about your son, Ryan. Tell us about his story, first of all. Tell us what happened to him.
Well, basically, Ryan was born with congenital heart disease. It was managed with medication until he was 18. He was then found to need a heart transplant. Basically, he received a heart transplant on the 23rd of November 2012. Due to complications from that, he ended up having to have a bilateral above-knee amputation. Then he also suffered from a carotid aneurysm. Then he also had a extradural hematoma, which was a bleed in the brain. And just recently, just Monday past, he had went for surgery to perform a femoral bypass. But unfortunately, when they got in, they found that his vessels just would not have been able to cope with the surgery, so they had to cancel that mid-surgery. So at the minute, we're taking each day as it comes at the minute. So
Ryan had both his legs amputated, but it hasn't held him back.
Definitely not. Definitely not. If anything, it's made him more determined to achieve what he wants to achieve, which is quite a lot.
And what does he want to achieve? Just tell us about him. Tell us just how determined he is.
His biggest dream is, I think, to attend the Paralympics. That's what he's aiming for at the minute. We have amputee games now coming up where he's going to be representing Belfast in Stoke Mandeville in May. And then in July, he'll be representing the Freeman Hospital at the British Transplant Games. So we've quite a full calendar in front of us.
And what sports does he take part in?
Locally, he would take part in wheelchair basketball for the Northwest Eagles, which is based in Derry. He has also played wheelchair hurling for the Ulster team. Unfortunately, just because he had been unwell, waiting on the surgery, he wasn't able to participate. But he's keen to get back and test out this new chair. So,
and just tell us about the new chair. Just tell us how you received that.
Basically, when Ryan was a patient in the Freeman, there was another young fella from Belfast, Jonathan Tate. Now, we never met Jonathan or his parents while we were there, but we were very aware of their story because the coordinators out there would have kept us updated, and Ryan and Jonathan had quite similar difficulties. And unfortunately, Jonathan, following his transplant, lost his fight. But because of his lifestyle beforehand, his parents decided to set up this charity, JT Inspires, basically just to make sure that young people with congenital heart disease, you know, we could keep fit, and there's benefits to it. We were put in contact with Jonathan and with Jonathan's parents, Alan and Patricia, who came to see us, and it was a lovely but very emotional meeting. They explained to us what their aims of this charity was and if there was anything that Ryan in particular would like. And Ryan had mentioned that because they have to use borrowed wheelchairs when they do any event, it would be nice to have his own so that he could practice in between training sessions. So basically they said they would look into it, and it came to pass that they were able to get Ryan his own bespoke sporting wheelchair, which was presented to him by Michael O'Neill, the Northern Ireland manager. And I have to say it's some piece of equipment.
And what is it? It's a lighter wheelchair. It's going to help him.
Oh, it's extreme. You can lift it with one hand, and it's the way a sporting chair is completely different to a standard manual wheelchair. It's built, as you say, to be light and easy to manoeuvre. No brakes on it, so you have to basically learn how to stop and go using your body, and it's an absolute fantastic chair.
How important are charities like this? Because wheelchairs, these sport wheelchairs, are very, very expensive, aren't they?
They are. It's sad that there's so many young people in wheelchairs, and as I say, to be able to be involved in any type of sporting activity, they need a sporting wheelchair. Now, as I said, Ryan's team, they use borrowed chairs. There's a few kids that have their own. But in this day and age, I think everybody should have their own sports wheelchair. The charity, as I say, GTA Inspires, has made Ryan one of the lucky ones where he has his own. And as you say, they are quite expensive. And unless you're in the position, you don't know what it means to have somebody thinking of you. And as I say, because Jonathan was such a he was MP's fitness and all, it's quite an honour for Ryan to have a chair basically inspired by his dream.
And looking to the future, what's Ryan looking to achieve, and what's his aim for the future?
One of his big things is he wants to make a film of his life. he has been through that much and has that much to tell that he wants to put it down in paper and let other people see just what he has come through and how positive the outcome can be if you put your mind to it.
That's it, the script's there anyway. It would definitely be an inspirational story.
It definitely would be. So he's got lots of help and lots of people backing him, and he attends a wee group set for life in Derry at the minute, and they have been absolutely fantastic, and he's really enjoying participating with them, you know. So it's all go.
That's it. Fair play to Ryan, because I know a lot of people, we complain all the time, but, you know, Ryan and his two legs amputated, but he's determined and he's strong, and he's an inspiration to people. Fair play to him.
His determination is definitely an inspiration now, so it takes that of me.
There you go. Donna, thanks for joining us in the show. Wish Ryan all the best, and sure, we'll have to look out for him. We'll look forward to seeing him in the Special Olympics someday, maybe.
Definitely. Fingers crossed that'll work out for us.
Don O'Connor, thanks for joining us in the show.
I don't know.
Soak with Sea Creatures. Welcome back to the weekend edition. On the show now, we have singer-songwriter Sinéil McGuinness from Ballyshannon. Sinéil, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for travelling down. You're a 22-year-old singer-songwriter. You're from Ballyshannon, as I said. Just tell us about yourself. You were on the John Murray Show. Did you win a competition on the John Murray Show?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, last May, I took part in an emerging music contest that the John Murray Show was running. And out of about 600 entries, I ended up making the final three, and then I won the overall contest. So that was a big deal last year, you know, and kind of since then everything's been going pretty well, you know.
You were on the John Murray Show, obviously.
Yeah, I was on live. I performed live, and then it was in front of three judges, and one of those was Jerry Fish. So it was really like an amazing experience to meet him, and he's been so kind to me, you know, and he actually then invited me to play his stage at Electric Picnic, and then that kind of led, you know, to more things. So yeah, it's been great, like just kind of meeting people.
So you've done Electric Picnic. What other festivals?
Yeah, then I did Sea Sessions, which is local enough, like in Bundoran. That was great as well. Played the Vodafone stage at that. And then I played a couple of other kind of, there's a festival in Dublin called Ubloom, and they're kind of trying to make that into an Irish South by Southwest, which is, you know, just kind of a lot of showcase gigs for Irish acts that are kind of emerging. So that was great as well, yeah.
And any upcoming gigs? Are you doing Sea Sessions this summer as well?
Not sure yet. It's still a bit early, so I don't know about that one yet. But I'm playing a festival called K-Fest down in Kerry in May. And I have a couple of other things coming up that I can't really confirm right now. It's still early days for summer festivals.
Anything,
you know.
Any gigs locally coming up if anybody wants to see you?
Well, I'm in the middle of organising an alternative tour around Donegal and Ireland, actually, that I'm going to do in living rooms. So I'm going to put more information up about that, because it's very different. You know, it's obviously not specific venues. It'll be kind of in people's homes,
right,
and whoever wants to host me.
So how'd that idea come around? It's unique. Yeah,
Well, I just figure that, you know, it's kind of difficult to book venues and stuff on your own. Like, I am, you know, I'm my own manager. I'm kind of everything at the minute. So I figure if I go out and I kind of just put it out there to people, like whoever wants me to come and play in their home, in their living room, and then if they have 5 or 10 people, you know, friends, family members come around, like, and just have like a nice casual little concert, you know, it's just so easy that way. And I feel like it would be very fun, and you know, I've met people that have done it before in America and stuff like that, in England, and you know, they've had such a great time doing that.
I was about to say to you, copyright that idea, it's so unique what you're saying.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not my brainchild.
So could you stream it then online or what?
Yeah, you know, that's definitely like an option as well. You know, you could do virtual kind of concerts as well.
That would work. I'm sure that we could do a lot of publicity. It's just
I think it would just be fun as well. You know, like it would get you kind of to these nooks and crannies of the country as well, you know.
A tour of Donegal living room.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll be putting more info up, you know, on the social media about that.
Just what people can follow you on Twitter.
I have Twitter and I have Facebook. So my Facebook is facebook.com/ Sinéil McGuinness Music, and Sinéil is spelled Chanele. It's kind of complicated. And then you'll find everything through my Facebook. Yeah, I've Twitter and all the rest of the social media.
I'm sure we'll get Yvonne to put that up on our Facebook
page.
That'd
be great. Thank you.
You're here to perform for us. What are you going to perform?
Yeah, I'm going to play a song called Ghost.
Whenever you're ready.
Thank you. I don't mean no harm, dear, I'm only missing you, that's all. And if I hide in the breeze, you will not notice me at all. And when you hear door close, I'm helping keep the warmth inside. I may tap on your window, but that's an urge I'll have to fight. Remember, everybody's just a body with a ghost inside. Everybody's just a body with a ghost inside. And tell me why it scares you to hear me whisper in the dark, and tell me why I scare you. I've still got love without a heart. Remember, everybody's just a body with a ghost inside. Everybody's just a body with a ghost inside. Ooh.
Chanel, that was brilliant.
Thank you.
How have you not got a record, then? That was amazing.
Thank you so much.
And that's your own song?
Yeah.
And how many of your own songs do you have?
Oh, golly, I have a lot. Yeah, I have a lot. But I'm still kind of in the process of, you know, getting recordings and stuff that I'm, you know, happy with releasing. I'm a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to that side of things, you know. But I'll be releasing an EP in a few months.
If anybody wants to listen to your music online,
You'll find it through my Facebook page. But I also have like a YouTube channel that I do. I have original music up there, and I have covers as well that I do. And I have a SoundCloud page. So yeah, you'll find all the links, I'm sure, on the website through Facebook.
That was brilliant.
Thank you.
That was really good.
Thank you so much.
If you want to give us another one of your songs, you can. It was really, really good.
Oh, thanks. I'll do another one then. Yeah. Why not?
That good?
Oh. Thank you. Sweet. Okay. This song, will I play it now?
Yeah, whenever you're ready. Just introduce it. What's this one called?
This one is called Already Gone.
Whenever you're ready.
Said I would wait for you. I didn't mean I'd wait a year. Stood through hail and snow for you. Faced my biggest fears, 'cause I've waited enough for you, love. I'm already gone. I'm already gone. All this time I still
again, Chanel, brilliant. Your voice is so pure. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great,
really
thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And we'll have to look out for you. I'd say there's big things in store.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be back sometime soon.
Yeah, thanks. Chanel great. McGuinness, thanks for coming into the show. It was amazing.
Thanks.
On the show now, we have Tristan Donaghy, who is the manager of a weaving company in Donegal, who are set to get an audience of millions. First of all, Tristan, tell us about the company Studio Donegal.
Studio Donegal was set up almost 35 years ago to try to hold on to some of the traditional skills of hand weaving. And over the last 35 years, it's evolved, but continues to solely hand weave. And our, I think our main point of survival is that we have really developed the hand weaving, and while it's expensive, it allows us to produce in small runs, and we are, I would say, design-led, because with the small runs, we can keep changing design and change rapidly and create new ideas, and our customers really appreciate that. But also, as a small studio business, we also then find that a lot of we obviously have a wholesale business where we're exporting to Japan, North America, Italy, Germany, France, a little bit to the Netherlands, and a little bit to Sweden, and then also on the home market to Irish, good quality Irish shops such as House of Ireland and NASA Street and Blarney Woolen Mills. And so some of these would also then obviously be selling to visitors, particularly House of Ireland, who have outlets in the airports. But the business is, as I say, really hung completely on the principle of being true to our word, that everything we do is genuinely made in Donegal at the mill and is genuinely hand-woven. So my philosophy is to make the Studio Donegal brand and logo the hallmark of Irish hand weaving. And our customers really appreciate that when they come, that we really do make everything. We and out of that, we have developed a small spinning unit where we also now spin some local wools. We don't spin all our own wools, and we don't use all local wool because, for example, for a scarf, the local wool would really be too coarse. We want to work with softer merino fibres to get a nice, soft handling scarf. But for a good outer jacket, where you want something that's going to be a little bit rugged and hard-wearing, sometimes the local wools are very good for what we want.
Just tell us about the craft of hand weaving. Is it a craft that is dying out? You're the only company in Donegal does this, aren't you?
We're the only company that solely hand weaves. Then I'd have to say, to be fair, there are a few other individual hand weavers who continue the skill themselves. But we're the, I believe, the only company that solely hand weaves everything that we produce. And I hope that it's not a craft that's going to die out. We very much hope to keep the skill alive. We have three hand weavers. Two of them are in their 60s, and we have one apprentice in his mid-20s. And I hope shortly to take on another apprentice. And it would be, you know, it wouldn't be the end of us if hand weaving came to an end, but it would certainly mean quite a change in our business and quite a change in our marketing principles.
So you've taken on a young apprentice and you're planning to take on another apprentice. Is it a hard craft to teach? Is it hard to learn?
Not that hard. I would say that it's a little bit like teaching a child to ride a bicycle. You'll gather the basic principles in a couple of weeks, but you'll find that with years of experience, you'll tend to fall off the bicycle less often. And it is something that to come across all the different situations you can, you won't come across them in 6 months or a year. So it is a matter of years to learn everything. And even after 30 years in the business, I'm still learning.
And I suppose if you do learn this craft, you're going to be pretty unique because not a lot of people know how to do it now.
That is true, yes. And as our customer recognises that, we're finding that we can get a better price for what we're producing. And so our aim is to reward our employees well. And so we are, although we are a textile industry where traditionally pay has been low, we try our best to reward fairly, and we are paying well above minimum wage.
And I suppose, Tristan, the main reason we have you on the show is that you were asked by the Design and Crafts Council of Ireland to take part in a special exhibition at Dublin Airport at the minute. How'd that come about, first of all?
Well, we've been clients of the Design and Crafts Council of Ireland for many years, and they are aware of what we're doing. And I would say that of the last 5 or 6 years, the work that the Design and Crafts Council of Ireland have done in promoting traditional craft businesses has been superb. And the Design Island in Dublin Airport is just one example of the work they've been doing and getting attention for craft workers like ourselves. And so they sent a photographer to just to see and breathe and watch what we were doing and take images late last autumn. And out of that, they made a selection, and we were fortunate to be one of the ones included in Design Island. And I suppose also there were, again, because hand weaving is becoming so uncommon in a way, it stood out on its own.
An exhibition at Dublin Airport, it really opened you up to a massive audience.
It does, yes. And particularly now with Fáil to Ireland also developing the Wild Atlantic Way. So one leading into the other is, I believe, going to be a great help to us this year with our marketing and hopefully increasing the footfall a little. But I would say of increasing the footfall, the most important thing is that we increase it with a quality visitor rather than just quantity.
So who is the hand-woven clothes? Who's it aimed at? Who do you market your stuff at?
Well, I think we would say we market our things at every age group. But what we find is that most of our market is either young people who are still single, have disposable income, and really appreciate handwork. And at an international level, probably our biggest market is a Japanese market, who the Japanese people are really, really keen on things that are handmade. Though I've never been to Japan, I can only imagine that everything is very automated there, and they just love the idea of the story of something being made by hand. And when they get that feeling and that get the whole story, they just fall over themselves to get it. But when it comes to our own direct retail experience, what we find is it's the fact that visitors are able to actually see the work going on around them. And what we are in the studio or in the mill, our policy is that people should feel free to go and have a look at the works. We obviously have to have safety rails and so on to make sure that people can't go where they shouldn't, but they are really able to go and look at the mill working. And it's not that they're behind glass, they're able to talk to the operatives, they're able to talk to the craftspeople, so they really feel that they're able to engage with the craft making. Then we would also find that we would have an older age group where families have grown up, and they would tend to be more a group that will come later in the season, September, October, into November, and we find we get very good sales with them. And then we also find we'll get good sales from America over the website leading up to what they call the holiday season into Christmas. So it's a very varied business. And one of the important things to us is keeping wholesale business working, because that is what provides us with volume to keep trained staff employed all year round, so that we do not employ people on a seasonal basis and then let them go as soon as things go quiet. We're there 52 weeks of the year. The only time that the mill actually closes is on Sundays, and for a week at Christmas. Otherwise, we are there all year round. And as I say, the visitors appreciate the fact that they can actually see the works going on. It's not one hand loom stuck in the middle of the shop to suggest that everything is hand woven and everything has come out of the hand loom when it may not have.
And could you describe the hand woven clothes as designer? Would any celebrities buy this stuff?
I am aware of some celebrities that do buy it, but I have a policy of not asking anybody who they are, and we sell to one and all, and everybody is treated on an equal footing when they come into the shop. It can be quite funny at times. I had a Korean family last autumn in the shop when a celebrity did come into the shop, and their English was very poor, but they were still buying, but they really got excited, and the older man pointing at her and saying to me, "She a star, she a star."
I can probably guess who it is, but considering you're based in Kilcar, I can probably guess who it is.
You probably can. Yes.
And is it expensive to buy?
Yes. Well, I'd say if you were to compare our prices to Dunstores or Marks and Spencers, of course we're expensive. But I would say we're not expensive for what we actually are.
Yeah, and I've seen recently on social media people may be sharing pictures of jumpers, hats, scarves. It's nice stuff.
It is nice. And I think that one of the things is that we're trying to keep a hand-woven look. And you say to yourself, well, what's a hand-woven look? And I think what I say to people is that if we turn the clock back 150 years and looked at what somebody might have been weaving then, they'd have been weaving local wools, and if they were getting some colour, they might have been just weaving something from say, a black-faced sheep and something from another sheep. You might be getting a black and a white, a natural black and a white. But what you'd be producing would be a very rough handling cloth. And if you looked up the technical definition of tweed, tweed is a rough, homespun woolen cloth made on the western seaboard of Ireland and Scotland. So just bearing that in mind, if I continued to produce tweed that was like that, I really wouldn't have a market for it. People would look and say, oh yeah, that's what tweed is. No wonder Seamus Heaney in his poetry talked about how his legs were cut red raw from wearing woolen shorts in the winter and the water and the rain, and they were chaffed, and he hated them. But if I then consider that people, they don't want that handle or that feel, but sometimes they want that look. So, in other words, what I say to people is that today men want to look like Grizzly Adams, but they don't want to feel like Grizzly Adams. The aim or what we try to produce is something that's modern and softer in handle, but has that big rugged look to it. And we achieve that quite well with the hand weaving. But again, it's only a small market, and so therefore, in a different sense, the handlooms lend themselves to producing for this small market. Because if I were to go out and buy a modern high-production loom, which might cost me 200,000-250,000 euros, and I could let go two weavers and so on, I could only make that loom pay for itself if I put volumes of 500 to 1,000 metres through it, whereas with the hand looms, I can put 60 metres at a time through. So you can see that I can get a much more varied variety of things by continuing with hand weaving. And on the scale of business we are, if I went, as I say, into that modern weaving, I'd end up having to lose most of my colour and interest, and what I'd be doing is producing miles and miles and miles of grey cloth, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with grey cloth or a grey suit, but it's not got the vibrancy or the excitement that we're able to offer in what we're doing. The important thing then is in the finished garments that we make, that they're really well designed and really well fitted and really well finished. And when people get something that just fits like glove, they appreciate it. And sometimes they have to think a little bit before they pay for it, but very often it's a very quick decision, and they're very pleased with what they get.
And Tristan, just before we end the interview, how can our listeners, you're based in Kilcar, but if our listeners want to go on and look at the garments that you design, where can they find them?
Well, they can look either at our website, which is www.studiodonegal.ie, or they can follow us on Facebook and give us a like and hopefully send us on to their friends, etc. And they can also visit the works in Kilcar and see the craft being carried on. The works only actually works Monday to Friday because, again, we're a working mill. We're open Saturday. They can go and have a look at the works, but it isn't actually working on Saturday.
Tristan Donaghy from Studio Donegal, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the weekend edition, 13 minutes to 12. The show is really flying through today. On the line now, we have Shona Chambers, the Secretary of JCI. Shona, good morning.
Good morning, Barry. How are you?
Shona, you're here to tell us about the Outstanding Young Person of the Year awards that JCI are running. They run this every year. 10 outstanding young people are to be recognised. So just tell us about this and who or how can people enter?
Okay, we recently launched our search for the Outstanding Young Person of the Year, and it's really a drive to identify young people for their dynamism and enthusiasm within their different fields. So there's a local award ceremony where winners will receive a commemorative trophy and they'll be recognised by their peers. And after the local awards, the winners will go on to be recognised nationally and possibly even internationally. So there are 10 different categories relating to the fields of business, politics, academic achievements, culture, moral, environmental leadership, contribution to children, humanitarian and voluntary leadership, scientific and technological development, personal improvement and medical innovation. So we're really looking for nominations on all of the different categories. And if people know of anybody that would fall into any of these categories, they can email Anne-Louise at info@jcidonegal.com.
So you have to be nominated, that's all you
have to do. You have to be nominated, yeah.
And anyone can...
Anybody can nominate anybody. It's free to enter. The only, I suppose, rules really are the person needs to be fall within the 18 to 40 age group.
And the closing date, when's the closing
date? The closing date is the 31st of March.
So there's not much time left. So
no, we really only have just over a week now. So if people could get on the ball, that would be great.
And also JCI are running an Aspire to Inspire. It's an inspirational talk. Is this taking place?
Yes, that is going to take place next Saturday, the 28th of March, in Gallagher's Hotel at 7 o'clock. So we're going to have local celebrity chef Martin Anderson speaking at that. Nikki Bradley, who is the president of JCI Donegal this year, Pádraig Gallagher, and David Burns and Magnus Collins, who created the race. So it's going to be a fantastic event. It starts at 7, as I said. We're going to have a wine reception, and there's a small charge for non-JCI members of just over €7. So it's great value. You're not going to get value like it anywhere else.
And is that ticket only, or the
Well, you can book. The details are on our JCI Donegal page, so if people want to check that out. Otherwise, they can just pay at the door whenever they come along.
Yeah, okay. I'll probably go to that myself.
I'd recommend it. It's going to be fantastic. As I say, Martin Anderson's going to be there. Nikki is a public speaker herself, and she's going to be talking about fighting fits for Ewing's and her battle with Ewing's sarcoma and raising awareness of that. David Burns and Magnus Collins, they're the co-creators of the 24-hour endurance race, and they are also Irish adventurers, and they completed the 14,000-kilometre trek, which started in Istanbul and it ended in Shanghai. And then Pádraig Gallagher is a writer, actor and director and stand-up comedian who's based in Donegal. So it's going to be a fantastic evening, and I'd invite everybody to come along and support the event.
Okay, 7 o'clock in Gallagher's Hotel next week. And then the awards, or for the nominations for the awards, closes on the 31st of March. Shona Chambers, Secretary of JCI, thanks for joining us in the show.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the Weekend Edition, 12:06, the last 6 minutes of the show. And now on the show, we have Mark McMullen from County Down. A video of Mark has gone viral, which shows him singing a beautiful version of Bring Him Home from Les Miserables to his 22-year-old brother Declan. His brother Declan was left disabled after suffering a cardiac arrest at his home. Having spent a year in hospital, Declan now suffers from locked-in syndrome. If many people have seen this video, it's a beautiful video. The relationship between Mark and his brother Declan is obviously, it's a beautiful one. You may have seen them on The Late Late Show last night. Everybody was talking about it. It was just beautiful. This is just a clip of Mark singing the song to his brother Declan.
He's like the sun in the temple. If God had granted me the sun, the summer's die one by one. How soon they fly on and on.
Mark, thanks for joining us on the show.
No problem at all.
Mark, the video of you singing to your brother, it's really stole the hearts of the nation, of everyone around the world. It's gone viral. Just tell us about the relationship between you and your brother Declan.
Well, me and Declan pretty much, well, we've grown up together, and as far as being brothers, we're pretty much like best friends, and I think just whenever everything happened, it was a hell of a shock for both of us, because as long as he's still here, but you kind of feel like you've lost part of your best friend, and it's hard, but we've got through it, and I think he's coming out the other side, and I'm just glad to have him here.
And just tell us what happened, Declan.
Well, he suffered from a condition called Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome, which is an underlying heart condition that he had no idea that he had. So he was out one night with a few of his friends. He came home, went to bed, and didn't wake up the next morning. He had four heart attacks in his sleep, and that was him. When we found him, he was gone. So,
but he can still, locked-in syndrome, just to explain that, he can still hear everything.
Oh, well, He's 100% cognitive, which means he has full mental understanding and full thought. It's just, it's all physical. So it is. So if you're talking to him, he still is 22-year-old Declan looking at you, and he understands everything you're saying. He just physically can't do anything.
And the video that's went viral, you're singing the song Bring Him Home to your brother Declan. It shows just the strong relationship you have. And you were on the Late Late Show last night. Everyone was just talking about you on social media.
Yeah, well, it's good to see. It's just, for me, it's just, I just really want to raise awareness, not just of Declan, but of anybody else out there, that families that are suffering through the same conditions, because it is a very unknown condition, and I just want to raise awareness of it and let people know that these type of conditions do exist, and it's better to catch them now before you end up in the position that we're in.
And I think you've certainly raised awareness. You've got loads of publicity. You've stole the hearts of the nation. And I suppose your singing voice yourself, Mark, you're an absolutely fantastic singer. Everyone in Ireland seen that last night who watched The Late Late Show.
Yeah, well, I've been singing from when I was no age, and it would be, like, our family's very musical, and just get into different musical companies and stuff whenever I was maybe around the age of 12, and it's just went up from there. But I think Bring Him Home was just one of those songs that, it was the first show I had done an amateur version of Les Mis, and it was the first show Declan ever came to see me in, and for me it was kind of a special song to him. It was, so.
And that's why you always sung it to him, because you knew it was special to you, Declan.
Yeah.
And when the video went up of you singing to Declan, did you ever imagine that it would go, like, so many people would see it, or did you imagine it would just go so far and so viral?
I didn't even know the video was going up. I remember them taking the video, and it was one of my uncles just took it one night. We were in the local pub, but I just thought he was taking it for himself, just to kind of have on his phone and stuff like that there. And I remember waking up, I think it was about 2 weeks ago now, on a Monday morning, and it was just seemed to be everywhere. And I didn't understand what happened at that point, because I didn't know that he'd put the video up, and I was wondering where it was all coming from. But it's good to see, and it keeps Declan in great spirits. So as long as he's happy,
that's it. The
rest of us are all happy. So
that's great. You're a great guy, Mark, and it shows the strong relationship between you. And if anybody hasn't seen last night's Late Late Show, they should watch it back in RTE Player. It really is. It just shows the strong bond between you. Mark, thanks for joining us in the show.
No problem at all. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark. And this is a clip of Mark singing to his brother.
He's like the sun and when it's half grown. If God had granted me the sun, the summer's die one by one. How soon they fly on and on.
Mark McMullen there, ending the show. It's approaching 12 o'clock. That's all we've got time for on the weekend edition. Today, we'll be back the same time next week. Thanks for joining us on the show today.